Good afternoon. Would you turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, John chapter 15. We're in John chapter 15 of the Gospel of John. We're going to pick up our reading where we left off 2 weeks ago at verse 7. So John chapter 15, and we'll read verses 7 to 11. And this whole passage, these first 17 verses of John, talks about abiding in Christ. This responsibility that rests upon every believer to remain in the vine. Christ is the vine and we are the branches, and the command comes to the disciples of Christ and to every believer to abide in Christ and what that means. And so today, the second of three parts in these first 17 verses, John chapter 15, picking up our reading at verse 7. If you want a title for today's sermon, it would be Fullness of Joy in Christ. Fullness of Joy in Christ. Christ repeats what he's already said. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. The first 17 verses of John chapter 15, Jesus describes himself as the vine and believers as the branches. And I didn't mention this when we started, but this is in fact the seventh and last I am statement in this Gospel of John, if you've been following those statements. The main function of the branches, as we've seen already, is to bear fruit. That is the function of the branch that is in the vine. And we'll see today, this bearing fruit brings glory to the Father, who's the vine dresser. And the main lesson in this picture is that the responsibility lies on every true believer to continue to abide in Christ, to remain in the vine. This was, in fact, the point of application from verses 1 to 6 that you may remember we observed 2 weeks ago. And the point was, to bear fruit, the branches must remain in the vine. By way of application, we observed a couple of things to help us, suggestions to remain in the vine, the means of grace, the gathering together of the church, keeping ourselves pure, keeping ourselves from sin, trials and afflictions, those sometimes painful prunings performed by the vine dresser, not because we've sinned necessarily, but because so that we can bear more fruit, like you cut back a rose so that more roses can come for the second time. And trust in God, trust also in Christ. That advice given by Christ in this gospel in chapter 14, and look and long for his appearing. Well, this theme continues today, and it's important to note that we talk of ourselves as Christians, and people will ask you, are you a Christian? Well, this term, I believe, is only used 3 times in the whole of the New Testament of the believer. But rather, the term in Christ is used over 200 times. The believer is one who is in Christ. And here in John 15, where abiding in Christ is also used repeatedly. And so this should be very clear to us as believers, as we come to these continual exhortations and commands to abide in Christ, to remain in the vine, that this is the heartbeat of the Christian life. And Jesus here in John 15 is helping his disciples, helping them to understand what this means. We've already seen that his spirit would indwell them. They would be united to him in a mutual indwelling, and this will bring about a more intimate relationship with Christ. John chapter 14, we observed in verse 20, in that day when the Spirit comes again, that day when Jesus had returned to his Father, in that day you will know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. This is an intimate relationship that Jesus Christ is trying to help the disciples to understand. And we've also seen that this intimate relationship can only be achieved and accomplished when Christ has left to return to his Father and sent the Spirit to indwell them. And to have the Holy Spirit indwelling us is the equivalent of having Christ in us and with us, because it is the very Spirit of Christ. And therefore, 2 Corinthians talks about a believer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. And so that gives us a further hint to what it means to be in Christ. Now, I suggest then that abiding in the vine, being in Christ, therefore, is how the believer maintains communion with God. It's a deep and an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And without Christ, as we saw last time, without Christ, without being in the vine, we cannot bear fruit. For we need to abide in the vine for our life, for our sustenance, and for our nurture in the faith. Consider our text last time as a reminder, verse 4 and 5 of chapter 15. Abide in me, says Jesus, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is who bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. We have three main points today in our studies. We continue to see the importance of this union with Christ. The true Christian is the one who abides in the vine. He is the one who is in Christ. This term is used over and over again, and we need to know and understand what that means for the Christian. Number one, our union with Christ is the source of our fruitfulness and brings glory to the Father. Our union with Christ is the source of our fruitfulness and brings glory to the Father. Verse 7 to 9. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. As the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. There are two things we need to take note of here. And first of all, abiding in Christ brings us into an intimate fellowship with him. Abiding in Christ brings the believer into an intimate fellowship with him. Look at verse 7 again. Abide in me and my words abide. That mutual abiding in, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now, we've already noted that unless the branch abides in the vine, it cannot bear fruit. And now we are told the one who abides in Christ will in fact bear much fruit. The more we pay attention to being in Christ, the more abundant our fruit bearing will be. We note here that this abiding in Christ and having his word abide in us results in such a close fellowship with Christ that we are brought to a place where, because of our intimacy with him, and note the richness of his word in us, We can ask whatever we wish, and it will be done for us. And you may say, ah, is this a new avenue to prayer that we have? A new exclusive avenue? It's not. It simply means that His Word being in us and us being in Him means that we are able to pray according to His will. Because His Word is in us and we are one with Him. We are in fellowship with Him. And so we will not pray amiss or pray according to our own selfish desires because of this intimate fellowship we have with His Son and His Word abiding in us. And I was thinking, you have to explain this and to understand this relationship. And I thought of a very wealthy man who owns a massive company, and he has two sons, and the one son is, we would say, useless. He just chases pleasure. He just spends money. He does drugs. He doesn't work. He doesn't get involved, but it's his son. And the other son is in the business. And the other son has learned the business from his father. And the other son thinks about the business. And the other son has started taking over the business. He's controlling the business. And so that father would never say to the first son, ask whatever you wish and I'll give it to you. Because he could ask for more money, bigger allowance, a bigger car. But to his son with whom he is intimate, his son with whom he is like-minded, his son with whom he has a very close and special relationship, he will say, ask whatever you wish. Because that son will ask what is good for the father and his business. And so any illustration in human terms falls far short, but it's kind of, this is the kind of relationship that Christ has, that He shares with the Father. Their will is one. They are one. And so in Christ's prayer, in John chapter 17, it says that we will be one with Him and the Father, just as they are one. That's Jesus' prayer. And so Jesus says, abide in me in this way, that you too can be one with me and with the Father. Ask whatever you wish, and I will do it for you. What does this look like, this relationship? Well, if we look at the Godhead and Christ and His relationship with His Father, there's nothing contrary in the relationship, in the unity of the Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Their will is one. Their power is one. They are one subsistence. They are the same. And those who abide in Christ will enter that union with God through the intimate knowledge of Christ, His Son, and His Word in their hearts and in their lives. Brothers and sisters, the nearer a man lives to Christ, the closer his communion will be, and the more effective his prayers will be. The one who lives nearest to Christ will always be the man who feels most and prays most earnestly and fervently and wholeheartedly, because he has a vital union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so many believers get very little from God, for they ask little or they ask amiss. And we've read and you've seen the biographies, and we know the examples in Scripture. The holiest of saints are the ones who are most earnest in prayer, and they consequently get the most. Abide in Christ. This is the hallmark of those in whom Christ dwells and who in turn remain in Him. And this is the one thing that John Newton writes in his letters. He said, believers who are scorned and abused and mocked and have trials and infirmities. And he puts it this way. He says, this one thing makes amends for all. They have fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus says, abide in me. The relationship that He has with His Father, He says, come into that. And in the high priestly prayer, He prays for that, that you may be one as I and the Father are one. John Newton says there, these people have meat to eat that the world knows not of, honor which comes of God only, and joy with which a stranger cannot meddle with. Abiding in Christ brings us into intimate fellowship with him. The second thing we should note from these verses here is abiding in Christ brings glory to God in fruitfulness. Abiding in Christ brings glory to God in fruitfulness. It's very clear here in verse 8 to 9. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. You wanted to know how you could prove to be a disciple? Your fruit bearing, much fruit. As the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Brothers and sisters, here is an important responsibility. We cannot claim to be in Christ, to be abiding in him, and to claim that he abides in us if we do not bear fruit. The result of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the believer and his powerful work in us in the new birth, what is the result? It is the fruit of the Spirit. It is the product of being born again. And this is the baseline. He brings the Spirit by the new birth into our lives, that love, joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and self-control. Regardless of your personality, or your temper, or your personal remaining sin and weaknesses, he works these things in us as he gives us new hearts. And so what does it mean to abide in Christ? Well, it means that we take these things worked in us and increase in them. Because that is the fruit. And we cause them to overflow. Christ doesn't stop at the baseline. And Christ's work in us by his Spirit, the one abiding in Christ, multiplies these things. And they overflow into sacrificial service, as we see in the life of the Apostle Paul, and love towards God. They overflow in love towards the people of God and for the people of God. They overflow in a love and a longing to see those who are lost and without Christ come to know Christ. Christ, in all that he did upon this earth, had one goal in mind. And so should the believer. And it is this, that the Father might be glorified. Christ did this by perfect obedience to the words and works given to him by the Father to say and to do. He obeyed his Father in heaven. How does the believer do this? By abiding in Christ and by abiding in Christ's love. See our text. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Oh, brothers and sisters, this should be our aim and our motivation. For Christ, the outcome was the eternal love of the Father. Just as the Father loved me, so do I love you. His glory and his exaltation that we heard of in Pastor Sam's sermon this morning, the exaltation of Christ described for us there also in Philippians chapter 2. As the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. And this abiding in Christ and in his love proves the love of God for us. And our bearing much fruit brings glory to God, and it proves that we are his disciples. Our union with Christ is the source of our fruitfulness and brings glory to the Father. This brings us to our second main point. Our second main point, our union with Christ is grounded in the Word of Christ. Our union with Christ, that intimate relationship that the believer can have in Christ, is grounded in the word of Christ. Isn't this beautiful? That Christ keeps saying, abide in me, abide in my love, remain in the vine. And Christ in our text gives us the exact way in which we are to abide in him and his love. And how we are to bear much fruit, overflowing fruit, bearing much fruit. Read with me again, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, it will be done for you. And verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So we can ask ourselves already, am I abiding in Christ? Well, do you keep his word in you? Do you hold on to his word? Am I abiding in Christ? Well, am I bearing much fruit? Am I abiding in Christ? I've kept the commands of God, and Christ did the very same. How do we achieve this level of intimacy with Christ? How can we ensure abundance of fruit bearing to glorify God and so prove that we are his disciples? This responsibility to abide in Christ, to remain in the vine, in utter dependence upon the vine for our nourishment, for our life, for our nurture. For we've seen that without him we can do nothing. How do we make every effort to work out our salvation with fear and trembling? Because that's what it is, as Paul expresses in Philippians. There are so many obstacles to this. Our remaining sin. Paul admits it in Romans 7, the good that I want to do, I find myself not doing that. And the evil that I don't want to do, I find myself doing that very thing. Our lazy and our stubborn hearts, in spite of our good intentions, our weariness with spiritual disciplines, reading the word of God, discipline in prayer before the throne of grace, how may we overflow in fruit bearing? And Christ tells us right here, our union with Christ is grounded in the word of Christ. Here it is. Intimacy with Christ is having his word abide in us. Intimacy with Christ is having his word abide in us. Verse 7, the first prayer, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. And verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These words indicate for us what is involved in abiding in Christ, by letting his word abide in us and by keeping his commandments. It's that simple. Galatians 2 and verse 20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is intimate union with Christ. We know too that Christ uses abiding in his love interchangeably with and synonymous with abiding in him and his word abiding in us. Is this not what Christ pressed to Peter's conscience at the side of the Sea of Tiberias after Christ rose from the dead and he appeared to his disciples? Remember what he said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Three times. A love for Christ, abiding in Christ and having his word abide in us, brings us into intimate fellowship with him, where what is important to Christ becomes important to us. And so Jesus answers Peter and says, feed my sheep, tend my lambs, take care of my interests, love those things that I love, my church and his people. Have your word abide. My word, Christ's word, abide in me. And so we abide in him. we obey his commands, and they're not burdensome, but a delight. This love of Christ for Peter and his subsequent love for Christ would constrain him to feed Christ's lambs and to tend Christ's sheep. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. That is what it means to abide in Christ. And what is the principal way in which we might abide in Christ? By having his word in us. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 says this so beautifully, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts towards God. Did you see what it said? That's in the context of worship. And so that's the way we can keep his word, by coming to worship him, by singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs in our heart, making thanksgiving to God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And if the word of Christ does not dwell in you richly, then you're not abiding in Christ, and then you will not produce abundant fruit. The word of Christ is the instrument of Christ, used by the Spirit to nurture union with Christ and to transform us into the image of Christ. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Our growth in holiness involves our doing what God's word tells us. But more fundamental even than that, and our doing God's word, is what God's word does and accomplishes in us by the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to abide in his word, because that is how God works mightily in our hearts by his Spirit to bring us to faith and to sanctify us and to produce much fruit by abiding in Christ. What a blessed comfort. It's not all us. Yes, we commanded to abide in Christ, but abide in his word. It is God who sanctifies us. That is how we abide in Christ. We receive the word of Christ. And that's how Paul spoke so highly of the First Thessalonians in First Thessalonians, when he said, we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of man, but what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. That's why, brothers and sisters, it's important to sit under the steady preaching and ministry of the word of God, and to encourage those who preach to us to feed us well, and to pray for God's blessings on the expositions. The true preacher will delight in having hearers who say in their hearts, feed me more. I want the word of Christ to dwell in me richly in order that my fellowship and union with Christ may bear more fruit so that I glorify my Father in heaven. That is something of what it means to abide in Christ. Our union with Christ is grounded in the word of Christ. We observe in the third and final place, and this one's really short. Number three, our union with Christ fills the believer with joy and hope in believing. This union with Christ fills the believer with joy and hope in believing. Verse 11. And this is beautiful. Jesus just brought all these comforts to the disciples in chapter 14. And now he says, you must abide in me. There's a vital union here. There's a relationship. And you just do it by abiding, having my word in you, and abide in me. Have my word in you. Obey the word of Christ. Look at verse 11. Jesus says to them, on top of all these things have I spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Christ always has our best interests at heart, and he knows what we need before we know it ourselves. And his words to the disciples, though heavy with responsibility for the believer are intended and will be accomplished in us for our good, for the Father's glory. They will result in an abundance of fruit bearing if we pay close attention to abiding in the vine, who is Christ. As the vine dresser, the Father works and wills in us all things according to his good pleasure. Our intimate union with Christ and with God by the powerful working of the Holy Spirit will produce in us now, Jesus promises, a fountain of joy. And we will be able to say, my cup overflows. Christ, who has already promised his peace to the disciples, and he accomplished the peace with God on the cross for his people. And Christ has given us the peace of God, that peace which passes all understanding. And now Christ promises to those, and think about this, with whom he desires to have an intimate relationship with them and the Father. Christ desires that of me with my wicked heart and my sinful thoughts. And he says, remain in my love, obey my commandments. We have an intimate relationship together in this. Now Christ promises to his beloved ones who are in him great joy and hope in believing. And this reminds me of John chapter 10, where Jesus said to his disciples, I have come that they may have life and have life more abundantly. That speaks of joy and abundant, a productive, a useful, a fulfilled life, one that glorifies the Father by bearing much fruit. And Christ promises now that I've told you these things, that you may have my joy and that your joy may be full. J.C. Ryle says, the Christian who is careful of his words and tempers and works will generally be the happiest Christian. Joy and peace in believing will never accompany an inconsistent life. If you do not remain in the word of Christ, if you do not obey and delight to obey the word of Christ, result of a life which abides in Christ, if we remain in him and his words remain in us, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. And what a joy and peace, but they are gifts of the Holy Spirit. And our intimate fellowship with Christ, because of keeping his word in us, bursts forth joy and peace in abundance. And this is what Paul prays for the Romans in Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. He prays this prayer, which is very real, because this is what Christ promised. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Brothers and sisters, it's not easy, but here is the secret to contentment. Here is the secret to fruitfulness, to a close walk and intimate fellowship with Christ. In these things, we bring glory to God. Abide in the vine. Make sure his words and commandments abide in us, and we long to keep them. Hide his word in your hearts, that you might not sin against him. And God himself will fill you with all joy in believing and hope. I close with the words of the psalmist that Pastor Sean read as a call to worship this morning, Psalm 34, verse 8. And if you're not a believer here today, I would challenge you this day. We're speaking of things that perhaps you don't understand. An intimate relationship with Christ, where I can just drive and sing praises to him, and I can talk to him about things that I don't share with my dearest friends. I can hang out my dirty laundry and say, Lord, forgive me for the sins. And we challenge you today. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. And if you're an unbeliever today, call of the gospel, the command of the gospel comes to you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. and the gospel promises which will pour abundantly to you if you abide in Christ. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Brothers and sisters, we come to the Lord's table now. We come to sit down, to have a meal with our friend and our Savior and our God, because we abide in his word. We love to obey his commands. We have intimate fellowship with him. So when you eat the bread, you eat with Christ. And when you drink the cup, we remind ourselves that Christ's blood atoned for every one of my sins. And he's here. He's here because he's promised that he is with us when we break bread in this means of grace. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words from the lips of our Savior. How we thank you for your word which has come to us. How we thank you for the promise that if we abide in you and if your word abides in us, we will bear much fruit. And if we obey your commandments, you will fill us with inexpressible joy and hope in believing. Oh Lord, help us to walk with you. Help us to believe in you. Help us to glorify you by bearing much fruit. For without you, we can do nothing. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.